Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Leadership is hard.
Tell them what you think.
Failure is not an option.
I don't know what the big deal is. I really don't.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
I'm Jim Burns. Now, if you're a parent, your kids are looking to you for a lot of things. Love, security, trust, support. Well, that's just to name a few. But there's another quality that children need from their parents, especially in the area of spiritual growth. You know what that quality is? It's leadership. Not all of us as adults are called to be business leaders in our jobs, but every one of us as parents is in a position of leadership in our homes. And the first step to embracing this position is to acknowledge that leadership can be a hard thing to do at times. During the next half hour, I'm going to continue my conversation with noted author and speaker, one of my favorite guests, Nancy Ortberg. The topic, lessons in leadership at home and at work. Now, I think it's going to help you become a more effective parent as well as a more effective leader. So keep it right here on Homeward.
Think of yourself as a leader. You say, well, I'm a mom, I'm a dad. I mean, I'm not really a leader. Well, guess what? We've got good news for you, and we have some maybe challenging news for you. Today, here on the Homeward broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns continuing his two-part conversation with Nancy Ortberg on lessons in leadership for home and work. These are principles that Nancy includes in her book, Unleashing the Power of Rubber Bands. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating leaders and difference makers since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Remember, we are streaming audio at homeward.com. You can access any of the programs in our archives without cost because of the prayers and faithful financial support of listeners just like you. Just want to remind you of that. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation with Nancy Ortberg. She is a gifted communicator. If you've not ever had the privilege to hear her, you are in for a great treat. She's an author. She is a person passionate about helping people become more effective leaders at work and also in the home. She served in such leadership as Willow Creek Community Church. She now lives with her husband, John Ortberg, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they have three children. She is also the co-founder of TeamWorks. It's a business and a leadership consulting firm based out of California that provides leadership and coaching, consulting for some great organizations. Great to have you back with
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Jim.
I love our conversations. It's
Me
just
too.
Incredible.
Having a great time.
As we think about leadership. Now, we have had a conversation last time about leadership, and you've written a great new book called Unleashing the Power of Rubber Bands. By the way, it's just out. I highly recommend it. I just read it. It's a great book. One of the things that you say in there that I think is interesting is you say that when we think about leadership, we have to stop being surprised that leadership is hard.
Yeah, it is hard. I was on my way to a conference on leadership to speak, and they called me right before I got to the airport and said, hey, the talk that you were going to do, somebody's already done it. Could you write another talk? And I said, oh boy, I have all the way on the plane to write another talk.
Speakers love that.
How gracious of you. But I got on the plane and I sat there and I thought, okay, what do leaders need to hear? And the thought that kept coming to me over and over again is most of the questions I get asked in Q&A sessions after a talk are about, the bottom answer is, can you just tell me that this is really, really hard and give me a couple things to do about it? Leadership is really hard. And if leaders could get over that and stop getting stuck in the fact that, yes, it's hard, then I think you're free to move forward and have the hard conversations, do the work that's required to move the organization and people forward instead of getting stuck.
It's so true. And we mentioned this a little bit beforehand, but I look at my own life. I want to be my kids' friend. I want my kids to love me. I want the people here at Homeward to think I am just the greatest guy. And so sometimes I'll harbor some issues where I really need to put it on the table.
Right, right.
Because I want to be liked by these people. How do you overcome that?
Well, I'll go back to what we talked about a little bit earlier. Conflict is the only way to intimacy, which is what the parrot said. I'll bet if you and I sat here right now and talked about in our leadership career, when is a time a boss had a conversation with us that was very hard, we had done something wrong, and they were right. And we had the humility and the presence of mind to listen and accept it and integrate that into who we are. It did a 180-degree turn for us.
Right.
People that love you tell you the truth. Love is not love if it's just grace. In fact, grace isn't grace without truth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I immediately didn't go to a boss. I went to another boss named Kathy, my wife, where one day she said to me, you know, Jim, the schedule isn't working for me. It's totally out of control. I'm not even sure. This is so long ago. I'm not even sure I want kids because I love children, she said. And of course, I love children too. She said, but I don't know if you're going to be there for them.
Yeah.
That was a defining moment. And yet she said this not with great joy in her eyes, you know,
sparkling.
It was like fire in her eyes saying, you know, something has to change.
Well, and what courage that took for her to say that.
Right. And I think it took her, you know, several months to do. She said, you know, I don't want to interrupt this incredible run we're on, but hey.
Well, and without conversations like Kathy had with you, your relationship is very shallow and superficial.
Right.
And we have to have the courage to have hundreds of those a year with our spouses, with our coworkers, with our friends. And we avoid the very thing that's going to get us where we really ache and long to get to.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to bring up another issue that you write in your book that's great. It's about brokenness. Some leaders don't appear to be broken people, and they're probably more broken. And then some leaders are in touch with their brokenness. And I want to give you an illustration. A friend of mine who's a pastor in Hawaii, he needed a youth pastor, and so he called me up, and I gave him two people. Interesting enough, one of them you would know very well. And the other was somebody who really was kind of more second string, if you would, and a great guy, he's great relationships, but he really had been broken. We ended up hiring
the second guy,
and he called me. He said, hey, thanks so much. You know, he gave me this great lead. And I said, can I just ask you a question? Why did you hire junior varsity instead of varsity? And he said, well, I don't know if varsity has ever been broken. He said, and I only hire broken people to work in the church.
Leader. Yeah.
Isn't that an incredible statement?
Yeah, it is.
Now, what's the deal with brokenness in leadership?
Well, leaders ought to be the most self-aware people in a room, not narcissistically self-aware. We've all met people like that who the only pronouns they know are I and me, and anything you say within 20 seconds, they've got it back into themselves. But that kind of self-awareness that leaves you very comfortable in your own skin, and you know people like that. You know them when you see them.
Right.
They know who they are, but more importantly, they also know who they're not. And you don't find that out in a book, and you don't find that out when life is going well. You find that out when life gets really hard. And we need brokenness. The other thing I would say about brokenness, and I can relate this to the church so much, is we build a religion, maybe not intentionally, that's about rules, and we follow the rules to feel good enough. The point of the cross is we're not good enough. And people that are in touch with their brokenness are authentic. They are vulnerable, and vulnerability builds trust in an organization and in a relationship. You cannot build trust without vulnerability.
Are there levels of vulnerability? I know in my own life, I find levels where I am in accountability relationships where I'll kind of open up my heart to certain people. And then other places, you know, I try to be more vulnerable and authentic, but not.
Of course. There are appropriate levels of vulnerability. I had lunch years ago with a woman, and before we ordered off the menu, she started telling me about sexual abuse by her father. And I'm thinking, I don't even know your last name. This is too much, too quick.
Just, right.
It's like she's trying to super jet me into intimacy with her, and I just found myself resisting and pushing back.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of leadership seems to be, it looks outward, but one of the things you're saying is that the journey of leadership is much more inward than outward.
It's both, and it's inward in order to go outward. I kind of reject the dichotomy of people will say, I don't want to do, I just want to be. Well, no, you don't, because the being is about doing. But it's very similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 23, where some of his most vitriolic anger against the Pharisees was reserved for the time in which he described them as being clean on the outside but dirty on the inside. And you would think, ooh, bad, brokenness, adultery, murder. No, Jesus said, you're guilty of greed and self-indulgence. It's like, oh, really? That's all? You're getting that mad about those two things? Ouch, that hurts. And to realize that who we are on the inside is the well out of which we draw to give to other people. And if that's dirty and hollow and unattached to God and full of neediness and wanting people to like me, that's what I'm going to be doing under the guise of leadership. But people know the difference between somebody with a solid core and an identity in Christ in them, who's leading them, who's secure and confident, and somebody who's doing it for all the wrong reasons to fill up that well.
Don't you find that with many leaders, leadership actually causes people to be overcommitted and underconnected, causes people to become more vulnerable to some of the sin issues?
It sure can.
Because they are in the lead and they are in need.
It sure can.
And so they have to be careful. They still have to keep working on it.
Absolutely. But the follow-up I would say to that is, here's the deal. If you're a leader, you're wired up a certain way. Therefore, I can tell you right now the sins into which you will most easily fall. So you can't say, gee, I see somebody who's not a leader and they don't have my sins, I'm going to swing the pendulum and be more like them. Well, now you get their bucket of sins and you get your bucket of sins.
Right.
I think part of understanding your giftedness, and if it's not leadership, whatever it is, you will have an inherent kind of sin into which you will fall because of your wiring. So I get overscheduled very easily. The answer is not to stay home and never do anything again to counterbalance that mistake. It is to stay within my giftedness and try to manage that tension. And I talk also in the book a lot about there's a difference between solving problems and managing tensions. And most of leadership is in the realm of managing tensions.
Well, talk about that issue.
Yeah. I think it's really an important distinction for leaders to know. I need to look at every issue or crisis that's coming in front of me and say, is this a problem to solve or a tension to manage? Because if it's a problem to solve, I can get a group of people around me, we can debate it and make a decision and execute against that decision and be done with it. Leaders get frustrated when they think, why is this coming up again? Well, maybe the answer is I didn't execute well against it in the problem category, or it's not in the problem category. It's a tension to manage, and it's never going away, and it will always pop up.
Boy, it's important for us to think like leaders and CEOs of organizations as we think about our homes, are we not? I mean, you talk to a lot of successful mom experts, for example, and they'll say, hey, look, you really have to run this thing. What is it? Jill Savage, the author and speaker, likes to say that dad is the general contractor, mom is the site manager. You know, we really have to bring these business principles to home. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, we're getting a lesson on that. Nancy Ortberg is talking with Dr. Jim Burns about lessons in leadership for home and work. Nancy is the author of a number of best-selling books. The one we're discussing today is called Unleashing the Power of Rubber Bands. By the way, speaking of unleashing that power and showing leadership, big thanks to everyone who helped us. Our fiscal year just ended at the end of June. We were able to finish on fairly solid financial footing. I know it's a tough time of year to give, but we really appreciate those of you who do support us financially on a regular basis, month in and month out, and also those who come through at the end of the calendar year or the fiscal year with larger gifts. There's still time to give a gift and really help throughout the course of the summer months here. And if you can write to us today, we'd sure love to hear from you with your gift of any amount. P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California. The zip code 92693.
Hey.
Hey yourself. Why the sour mood?
This?
Oh, what's this? My baby girl's first moving violation.
Very funny, Mom.
What happened?
The cops said I ran a stop sign.
Well, did you?
No. I mean, I hit the brake 50 feet from the intersection. I slowed way down as I approached the sign. I kept my brake covered and I slowly rolled past the sign into the intersection, just like you do. I can't believe that stupid cop gave me a ticket for that.
I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. In more than 30 years of parent and family ministry, I can honestly say that this generation of kids craves authenticity more than any other group of kids I've ever known. There's a fairly simple principle at work here. Children see, children do. That means your words had better back up your actions if you want to establish any sort of credibility with your kids. So dump the lectures and don't nag. Your kids are learning to make right and wise decisions based upon what they see you do more than what they hear you say. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Having a great day today and a great conversation, by the way. I sense there are probably some people who are saying, this is great stuff. Nancy Ortberg with us, Lessons in Leadership. She is a gifted communicator, a great author, and her newest book is called Unleashing the Power of Rubber Bands. And we're talking about lessons in leadership on that topic, and what a privilege to have her with us today. Nancy, as we think about leadership, I mean, there's some words that come to my mind, and at least these words were words that I got out of your book, but it makes a lot of sense. Perseverance, patience, endurance. How does that fit within leadership?
Well, those are the harder words to learn. The driving force behind leadership is vision and energy and passion and direction and change, and those are at the forefront of what it means to lead. They really are. But if you don't have behind those issues like perseverance and endurance and diligence, you're not going to go the long haul.
Yeah. You're not going to go the long haul in work. You're not going to go the long haul in raising your kids either.
Right, right.
It's going to go up and down.
Absolutely. So they're the non-sexy leadership words, but they're really important.
Yeah.
And I think the longer I've been in leadership, the more I know it.
Yeah.
I had one leader tell me one time, and I was young at the time, said 80% of leadership is persistence. And I thought, so wrong.
Yeah.
Well, he may be off in his numbers, but he's got something.
Yeah, you know what? I now believe that.
Yeah,
I don't think I would have believed that young either. And I think that's the way it is with family as well, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'd say, gosh, we're kind of in a good place with our family. And then somebody would crash or whatever, and our
inevitably
kids became teenagers. And that was,
changes,
you know,
everything.
A humbling experience. And as we kind of waited out, we say, gosh, they're doing pretty good, you know, in terms of measuring.
Fingers crossed.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's important for us to think through that, both in the home and, I think, in the marketplace. And one of the other things that I really appreciate about what you said, and I want you to comment on it, is that some of the best things that a leader can do would actually greatly value the contributions of everyone in the organization or in the family. Now, here's the problem with this. A lot of times I see this in family, but I also see it in organizations, is, you know, I think I'm right, and I'm the leader. And at my house, I think I'm right as the dad or whatever it might be. And so I just kind of say what I try to value them. But in the truth is, I go, you know what, I'm right. And I may be right 80% of the time.
Right, right.
How do I get them to join in? And how do I value them with, at the same time, kind of already knowing that the end of the book says, you know, what it's supposed to be?
Well, I would say a couple of things. First of all, valuing isn't necessarily about agreeing.
That's good.
And so you can know where you're going. You can have already made a decision. And that's a very different issue than, do I value these people for the work that they do and the people that they are? Do I notice them? Our organization worked with a company last year, and the CEO of this company once a week would sit down on Thursdays and ask his direct reports on his leadership team to feed him stories of people in the organization, because it was a large organization, from the janitor to the vice presidents, of people that were living out the values. And he would sit for 15 minutes and leave a voicemail on 5 or 6 people's voicemails telling them what he'd heard, but he left it on their home voicemail, not work. So they'd go home thinking their day's done, and then they'd hear from the CEO about something he noticed. That's valuing people.
That's great.
Do you know their names? Do you know a little bit of their story, what's going on in their life? It doesn't mean you have to know that about everybody in your organization, but enough that shows you value. Stop playing rock, paper, scissors with the spiritual gifts or with people's giftedness. And don't value just the dreamers and the idea people, but also the people that execute and do the daily grind to make it happen.
Yeah, that's a great reminder for all of us. Family. When you're trying to value family, you want to value your kids. What are some practical ways that maybe the Ortberg family has done that with your three?
Well, and that would string right together with the second thing I want to say about that is collaboration.
Yeah.
You may already kind of know where you're going, but you're inviting them into the discussion. And you're also open to the fact that somewhere along the way, they may have something to teach you. I think that's the humility and the posture of a leader. That's why you want a team. And a family really is kind of a little team.
It is.
And you don't have to be a parent very long to realize that your children have so much to teach you. And part of how you can foster their self-confidence and their future direction is from time to time, let them be the teacher and the leader.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I think that idea is a little bit better than mine. Or I had never thought of it that way. And you take them seriously and you invite them in to the conversation.
That's a great reminder. Leaders ask good questions. What did you mean by that?
And Max Dupree's been a mentor of mine for many years, and he has taught me it's not just that you ask questions, it's that you learn to ask the right questions. And so I think sometimes that's a very hard thing for me. I have one of my partners in my business is excellent at it. And every time we work together, I learn so much about I'm asking lots of questions, and they're fun, and there's lots of energy, but they're not always the right questions. And he'll do the hard mental work to continually think about it until he gets to the point where he'll say, here's what I think the right question is. And it's amazing if you do that mental work long enough, you come up with the answers a lot quicker because you're asking the right questions.
Well, that works within home, too. You know, we have a daughter who just went away to college, but as we were trying to work through that, she was one of our daughters just said, here's the college I want to go to. This is it. The other daughter actually did that, too. But, you know, number three she was looking at
all
everything.
Over.
And Kathy and I realized, no, we need to take a step back, ask some questions to kind of get her focused, but not really lead her in a direction,
right,
but just ask
her
the questions. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you had an experience where someone placed a gray stuffed elephant in the center of a meeting. What was that all about?
Yeah, we were working with an organization, and about 3 months into our work with them, the CEO, very lovely moment, just came into the meeting with a stuffed elephant and put it on the table. And people chuckled for a while, and then he talked for just a few minutes about, I've only been here 3 months, but here's what I find. This place is full of them. There's elephants everywhere. And that little stuffed guy is not coming off of our table until we have named every one of them. And over the next 6 months, they'd put post-it notes all over that little guy until they were able to have true conversations about what the elephants were. And one of the things I will tell leaders all the time is it's a lot easier to clean up after an elephant if you know where he is.
Isn't that?
So you might as well just say what it is, find out where he is, and clean up after him.
You know, it's funny. I was in a small group once, and a guy was leading it, and we would kind of share leading, and he came in and said, today's going to be a little different. And he read a scripture, and then he said, what are my blind spots? I want you guys to go away, and when you take 5 minutes, I want you to write out the blind spots. Of course, a bunch of guys, we all laughed and made fun of his athletic, you know, ability,
right,
or something. And then we got serious about it. we had such an incredible conversation with him that we decided to all do that over a time period, 4 weeks or whatever. In some ways, that's the stuffed elephant in a family situation,
absolutely,
in a business situation. And, you know, it's what we've been talking about, but leaders confront, leaders deal with that. Now, we don't have much time left, but one of the things that I know you believe and that you want in your own life is something that you said in the book. I want to lead with the core of my being that is deeply committed to God. The question I would ask is, what if somebody's struggling in their relationship with God at the same time? They want that. How do they get there?
It's just such a process. It's not a defining moment. It may start with a defining moment, but it's the grappling with God, the fighting with Him, which there's so many evidences in Scripture about. I don't understand why in spiritual formation we write about such a narrow way to connect to God. Quiet time, prayer, journaling, all of which are good things. But no, there's so many other things. We talked about work. There's conflict. There's that grappling with God. There's a rhythm of practices in your life. And I don't just mean spiritual disciplines. I mean, even beyond that, where do you connect with joy and beauty? Because every time you connect with joy and beauty, you've connected with God. And that's a great place for your soul to live and to enjoy the moment and then to follow the thread that takes you back to God and say, what does this teach me about the nature of God? Because I think the most important thing about God isn't that He's holy or omnipotent. I think at the heart of who God is He's good. And if I believe that, I will lead with hope and a good core of leadership.
Boy, great conversation. Nancy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker and pastor's wife, Nancy Ortberg, here on the Homeward Broadcast. Her book is called Unleashing the Power of Rubber Bands, and you can find it just about anywhere. I want to remind you, too, that if you missed any part of this program, of course, we podcast the Monday through Friday edition of the program, and you can go ahead and sign up for that free podcast. We also stream audio at homeward.com. You can also write to us for a copy of the audio CD of the both part one and part two of this conversation. Just drop us a note with a gift of any amount to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, zip code 92693. Jim, take the final moments of our time together. I know there's a story that you want to share that really drives home the point we've been talking about today.
You know, as we conclude this program today, I want to tell you a story that perhaps you've heard me say before. I know I've written on it, but I had a defining moment once where I was speaking to a group of people, and a woman who had just been through a real tough time in her life, her husband had actually been in an adulterous affair. He was one of the key Christian leaders in the country. And she came up to me after I was done speaking to kids on the purity code. And these kids had made commitments to living a life of sexual purity. And she was crying. And I thought that this was my time to kind of minister to her because of what was going on in her own family situation. And she looked at me and she said, Jim, you have a burning passion to reach these kids. And isn't this great? And you have a burning passion for families. And I said, I do. And she said, then I have a word from God for you. And that always scares me when somebody says that. But she said, untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes. And, you know, there was a band playing and there were 8,000 kids in an auditorium. And I said, say it again. And she said, untended fires with burning eyes, right at my eyes, become nothing but a pile of ashes. And I think I want to leave you with that thought today, that you are a leader. I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but you are a leader. And if you don't tend the fire within your own soul, as Nancy was just talking about, then we become a pile of ashes, and then we lead out of desperation and we lead out of emptiness. So I want to encourage you today to, in the next 24 hours, maybe in the next 48 hours, take some time and replenish your own soul.
Boy, that's good advice. I think about a parent who is really dialed in and connected and healthy, you know, takes proper self-care, reaching out a hand to a child and having a firm hand to hold on to for that child to grab onto. If you use Jim's analogy, what happens if a kid reaches out and only gets a pile of ash instead? Good reminder for us to practice self-care. And that's one of the 10 building blocks for a solid family that Dr. Jim Burns writes about in his book with that same title. If you'd like ordering information, the book 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family is available for purchase anywhere you can buy Christian books. But if you order it directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. The prices are very competitive with what you'd pay on Amazon or in Christian bookstores, but then a portion of that proceed is tax deductible to Homeward. For more information on how to order a copy of 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, all you have to do is go to homeward.com. You can call us toll-free for ordering information, 800-397-9725, or write to P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.